Hey all, this is Casey with the Remember and Believe podcast. We're going to share today about Jesus' gracious heart of endless life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your great love for us and that you are our provider. That all good gifts come from you. None greater than your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, through whom we have endless life. Amen. I would like to invite you, if you have not already, to go back and listen to Eyes of Deep Compassion, and that will catch you up on the current series that we are in. Gracious Heart of Endless Life. Jesus is the essence of our Father's heart, a gracious heart of endless life. True kindness, fully compassionate, long-suffering, and through true and abiding love, tirelessly patient with each of us. As we spend this time together, I want each of us to remember that He has made and fashioned each one of us, that we were knit together in that secret place, that we were created to be in right relationship with Him. And this one who fashioned each one of us was with God in the very beginning, who stood at the time of creation and considered, created, and fashioned a world that he loved, a world that was to be filled with true beauty and grace, a perfect paradise, a world created where we would daily spend time in his presence, the bond of true union and relationship. And his word tells us that this union was broken when sin entered the world. And then the motions became set for separation. Commandments, law, and sacrificial system that would be handed down through Moses. And much later, at the perfect and appointed time, Jesus, this gracious heart of endless life, entered our world. The same world fashioned by his love. Heaven's all-gracious King came to be our sacrifice. Came that we might daily journey together in that bond of true union and relationship. And throughout his ministry, he shared that he was the living water. He who comes to me will never be thirsty again. He shared that he was kingdom without end. For I go to prepare a place for you. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And this great gift of eternal life in the final moments before he died, he looked to the thief on the cross, who in repentance had declared, "This is the Son of God." And he said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Kingdom without end. Some of the greatest and hardest moments penned that we might read and believe. Share of Peter. Peter, who loved the Lord. Peter, who believed in the Lord and trusted him and declared that he was the Son of God. And on their final night together, the Lord shared with him that Peter, before the rooster crows this night, you will deny me three times. And Peter said, "No, Lord, I would never do this. I am willing to go with you all the way, even unto death." And he finds, hours later, that he does indeed deny his Lord three times. He finds that when things got hard and put to the test, that he failed. But then he finds, after 3 days, Jesus, who has risen, and appears to them on the shore and says, "Friends, have you caught anything?" And they say, "No, we've not." Cast again. And to the amazement of this miracle, Peter knows that it is the Lord. And without hesitation, he runs to meet Jesus. And friends, we weren't there, but we know what it's like to fail. And we know what it's like to have done wrong. And we know what it's like to have been forgiven by a friend. So can we imagine what it was like to see Jesus, to jump out of that boat and run all the way? Because he loves you so much. He loved Peter so much. Peter knew this. And as they sat together, the Lord asked Peter, "Simon, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, I do." And a little later in the conversation, the Lord asked him again, "Simon, do you love me?" "Yes, I do." And yet again, a little later in the conversation, the Lord asked him again, "Simon, do you love me?" And Peter gets a little hurt, but he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And the Lord asks him to care for his flock. The Lord forgave Peter his wrong, and he reinstated him fully, because this earnest heart longed to be forgiven in true repentance. And through Peter, this one who loved the Lord, this one who believed in him, on this rock of faith, our Lord built his church. Friends, in all things, Jesus stands at the door of our hearts and our lives, knocking, that we might bid him enter. He longs for us to earnestly repent and release all things to him, that we might be forgiven and that we might be made whole. He desires that we share all things with him, every joy, every difficulty, for he is our salvation and our hope. He is our great high priest who overcame. And at this moment, he stands at the right hand of the Father, giving intercession for each of us. Hear these words of eternal salvation. Psalm 139, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." John chapter 3. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' 'How can a man be born when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify of what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. John 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." John 10. Then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Hebrews chapter 7, "For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without an oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but Jesus lives forever. He is a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other priest, he does not need to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of others. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." From Revelation chapter 3, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." From Revelation chapter 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But to the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Friends, as we shared in a previous episode, Jesus has done all things so we can be together now and forever. And I testify to you that nothing compares to the greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I share with you that his word declares, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Remember and believe.